We've always been a church on the move. We used to meet a long time ago when I first joined the church, many, many years ago, shortly after it started. We met in a hall that it had a mirror down. If you notice behind you, there's a mirror. The poor musicians have to do their thing here whilst they can see themselves in the mirror. Thankfully, I'm spared that because of the dumb front door. But the hall we met in originally was a hall smaller than this, and it had a mirror down one side and a ballet bar like that's got. But it had no windows. And the way you got into it, it was near Kentish Town Tube Station, the way you got into it, there was an unmarked door in the doorway in the wall. So the instructions for finding the church was look for the unmarked door, and then you went through a dark kind of spooky alleyway into this room with no windows. It was very clandestine. And we've moved around a number of times since then. I hope you like this new venue. We had no choice, really. They've turned that into a classroom, the whole thing into one classroom. It must be quite an amazing sight. But this place, it's got a different atmosphere than the place that we used to meet in. We didn't get any choice in the matter. The school just moved us. So we're here. The good news is we've got air conditioning for the summer and heating for the winter. So that's good news for those of us who've been a little bit cold in the past. I've always prayed, it's been something on my heart, that I've always prayed a lot about our venue. In one sense, it doesn't matter. We could meet, you know, we could meet out there on the AstroTurf, huddle together a bit, but we could meet out there. It doesn't matter where we meet, but in another sense, when we're together, it is important, I think, that we have a place where God can come and God can build us and God can do something amongst us. So I feel I have prayed a lot over the years, about our venue. And I think it's great to be here in this place. I believe God's going to do something amongst us while we're here. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you so much that you have led us, that you have guided us. Lord, that you've been with us. And we thank you for your mercy. Lord, that new this morning, your mercy. God, thank you that your mercy is new today for every single one of us. And Lord, all we have, God, all we have is you. All we have, Lord, is our desire to follow you and know you and obey you and walk with you. And God, this morning fresh, we want to commit ourselves to that journey. We want to say, God, you've been leading us. You've led us to this point. God, would you continue? God, please, in our individual lives and together as a church, God, would you show us the next step? Would you lead us? Would you help us not to stay still, not to slip back, but God, to move on with you? Lord, would you speak into every person's heart this morning? Holy Spirit, would you come and move in this place? Every person here, Lord. God, would you come? Holy Spirit of God. Just as we're quiet and before God this morning, I wonder if you would just, in the quietness, just freshly surrender, freshly say to God, God, would you lead? God, would you guide? God, would you show? Amen. I've talked weeks ago about my experiences of trekking. During my honeymoon, Barbara and I, one of the things that we did was we were fortunate to be able to go trekking in Nepal, up near the border of Nepal and Tibet. And we were trekking there, and we went to, it was a very remote part of Nepal, and it was in it was one of the Himalayan ranges that we were trekking in. And one of the most powerful emotions for me during the 3 or 4 weeks that we were there in the Himalayas was the helplessness of not being able to communicate. As we were going along, we only met villagers who, of course, couldn't speak English. Why should they speak English? My Nepali was asking for a cup of tea, some hot water, and to say hello. Oh, and hot milk I could ask for as well. That was it. Buffalo milk, of course. We were in a remote place. There's no radio. There's no phones, of course. No maps. No GPS. This was a good while ago, 18 years ago. We were reliant totally on this Nepalese guide. We had a Nepalese guide who could speak English. This Nepalese guide, we were completely reliant on him to know where to go. And the overall plan was to, head from one part, one Himal to the other. The Himalayas are made of Himals. The Himals are the different ranges. The idea was we started on one range and we trekked across to another range in the Himalayas. That was the plan. But of course he didn't have a map. There weren't any maps. And the only way we could do is he had a rough idea, a rough time scale of how long we're going to go. And he obviously could speak Nepali. The idea was as he went along, he asked people the way and we kind of made it up as we go along. And we came to one place and it snowed too heavily. We couldn't pass through one pass. Had to go another way. And so we're absolutely, totally dependent on this guy. And we'd never been that way before. I'd never been before or since to Nepal. And so I was aware just of how much this guy, everything depended on him. We looked to him to show us the way. If he hadn't shown us the way, what could we do? We were completely helpless. And I want to look this morning at a passage in the Old Testament where the people of God were in a position where they didn't know which way to go. They didn't know the way. And so God had to come and show them the way. And I want to look at that and how it relates to us today. This passage is in Joshua chapter 3. If you've got your Bibles, you want to turn to Joshua chapter 3. And the people of God have been led for 40 years in the desert. And now they're on the banks of the River Jordan. It was flooding, so it was harvest time, and the river was in flood, and they were waiting to go into the land. So with Moses, they wandered around the desert for 40 years. Now Moses had died, Joshua's leading them, they're on the banks of the Jordan, and they're waiting to go into the promise. So God had taken them out of Egypt 40 years before. God had spoken to them and said, there's a place I want you to go. There's a place where of abundance. There's a place I'm going to bless you. There's a place I've made for you. And I'm going to take you there. And they'd been 40 years getting to this point. So it's been a long journey. And there they were. They were on one side of the Jordan. The river was there in flood and there was no way to cross. Look what we're going to read. Just Joshua chapter 3 in the first few verses, chapter 6. It says, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you're to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know the way to go. Since you've never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between yourself and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the ark of the covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. The story continues that supernaturally God leads this little posse, the ark with the priest carrying it. Supernaturally, God leads this group, the ark, to the edge of the River Jordan, and then God parts it and they walk through. God makes a way through this insurmountable obstacle. And you know, it's a significant time for the people of God in the Old Testament. Because they've been led by God through the wilderness for 40 years. They had this column of smoke, by day, and this column of fire by night over the ark. And they, as it moved along, they've been led supernaturally by God. And now they come to a point, and they were stuck. There was the river and it was in flood and they couldn't cross it. And they were wanting to know what to do. It seemed like an insurmountable barrier. They were there 3 days. As they camped by the river, they looked at the river and they saw this river in flood. This land of Canaan was their inheritance. And the river was in flood and it was preventing them. It was stopping them getting into what God had promised. There was a barrier. They arrived and then stopped with nowhere to go. And they were pressed up for 3 days. They were pressed up against their own inability to do what God had promised them to do. See, God had promised them to bring them here and to take them in. And they realized when they got there that they couldn't. There was no ford because the river was in flood. When the river was not in flood, there were apparently some fords you could cross the Jordan. But this was harvest time, the scripture says. It was a time when the river was in flood and there was no way you could cross the river. And they had all their possessions and they had all their children. They couldn't do it. And so there they were. The other side, they could see the other side. They could see what God promised. They could glimpse what 40 years they've been waiting to enter into, what they've been building up to and longing to enter into, what God had for them. And yet there they were, separated by this insurmountable barrier. And for 3 days, they were one side of it, looking over to the other, thinking, that's where God wants us to be. He's brought us this far and we're not going in there. What could they do? They camped. And as they camped, they looked. You know, I feel that this account here, when I read this account in Joshua, I feel that it's analogous to where we are as God's people now. God's led us. God's brought us. God's guided us. God's brought us this far. But we seem to be stopped at an unsurmountable and uncrossable river, which is our inability to do what God's commissioned us to do. As you look through the end of Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, look through the Gospels, you see the commission that Jesus gave his disciples to go and to bring the kingdom in, to go and to preach and to see God's kingdom come and to see God heal and save and do amazing things. We see the commission to go and make disciples, and yet we're faced with our inability to do that. With the fact we haven't got the power to do what God's asking us to do. So we're in a situation similar to these, to the people here in time of Joshua, in that they were pressed up against the river. They could see where they wanted to be. They could see where God wanted them to be, but they realized there was a barrier. And I believe it seems like that for us, in that we can read the scriptures and we know what God wants for us. We know God wants you and I to go and make disciples. That every year we're bringing people to Christ. That personally through your life, you're touching people around you who aren't Christians. They're becoming Christians and you're bringing them on the journey. You're discipling them, seeing them grown. That's the purpose of God for your life and my life. And yet we're pressed up against our inability. We're pressed up against the fact that we're not doing it. We can't do it. There seems to be a lack of power in my life, and I would suggest in us as a church. So there's an analogy here I want us to look at this morning. They faced a physical object, this physical obstacle rather, and we face something which seems just as difficult. I want to see this morning that it was an unusual time for the people of God. They were used to being led by God in a certain way. For 40 years, the way God had led them had been a certain pattern. And now it was a new time, a new era. Joshua realized it. The thing that's great about the leadership of Joshua is he didn't just try and do what they'd done before, but he was careful. He realized this is a different time. This is a new season. God's doing something different. And so we need to see what God's going to do rather than just do the things we've done before. And Joshua's instructions for them were very simple. Joshua's instruction says this: when you see, we just read this verse, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you're to move out from your positions and follow it. See, the plan was straightforward. When God starts to move, follow him. Very simple. God didn't leave Joshua away and say, well, invent a way, find a way of crossing the river. Come up with a good solution. Come up with a good way of doing it. God was going to do it, and all they had to do was follow what God was going to do. My son's just been on an activity week with school. You know, they have their challenges. And I love the things where they say you're on one side, of there's a river to cross. They give you some barrels, and they give you a rope, and they give you a plank of wood. And they say the challenge is to cross the river. And so you've got to use your ingenuity, teamwork, build a kind of raft, and get yourself from one side to the other. God didn't expect Joshua to kind of gather a team and make some kind of way of crossing this flooding river, because God was going to do something. And the plan was very simple. When God moves, follow him. It's such a simple plan. When the ark rises up and God is on the move, follow God as he's moving. I was reminded of the passage in John 5 and verse 19 where Jesus said this: I tell you the truth, talking about himself, the Son, Jesus said this, it's an incredible verse, John 5:19. The Son can do nothing by himself. Isn't that incredible for Jesus to say that about himself? Jesus said the Son can do nothing by himself. He was talking about his humanity as the Son of Man. In himself, he could do nothing. And then he says this, he can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So there's Jesus there, Jesus looking to the Father, and with eyes, with spiritual eyes, with eyes of faith, he's seeing, Father, what are you doing today? Father, where are you going? What are you doing? And as God the Father was on the move, Jesus saw and Jesus cooperated. Jesus did whatever he saw the Father doing. And so it describes this incredible unity of purpose and function between the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, that operates in the time of Christ. And there's Jesus looking to see what God is doing. And there's Joshua looking to see what God's going to do. Excuse me, Jesus is like Joshua in that respect, looking to the Father to lead. I want to suggest it's the same for us. It's that we can only do what we see God doing. What I mean we can only do anything of spiritual worth, spiritual significance, spiritual power, anything that's actually going to make a spiritual difference into eternity. Obviously, we can get out of our bed in the morning. Obviously, we can turn on the radio. Obviously, we can loads of things we can do. Jesus could make a table. He was a carpenter. But spiritually, Jesus was saying that he could only do what he saw his Father doing, because there was this dependence between God the Father and God the Son. And God's looking for that same dependence in us. That spiritually, as I see God on the move, I would recognize it's God on the move. And so I'm following. God, I want to follow. Where are you? What are you doing? I want to follow what you're doing. God's not expecting me to come up with bright ideas. It's a relief. God didn't say to Joshua, come on, think of something, chap, to get these 2 million people across the river. He didn't. The plan was very simple. When God starts to move, just follow what God's doing. What do you believe? In this season where we're in now as a church, in this time where we're in as a church, I believe we're pressed up against the river. And I think we're a little bit like these people in the Old Testament, because we're aware of our inability to do the things that God's asked us to do. And I think what Joshua said then speaks to us today. When God starts to move, let's follow him. There's so many, we could have a little committee. I could say, like, put your hands up, let's volunteer. Let's get an action team together. Let's get some bright ideas. What could we do as a church to cross this river? What could we do to get into more of the power of God? What could we get in to be effective in reaching those that don't know about Christ? We come with all kinds of ideas. We could say, well, that group over there, they're using this course. That group over there, they use this system. That group over there, they've got these ideas. And you know what? The interesting thing is that what Joshua didn't do is Joshua didn't do what he'd seen God do before. Because what Moses did, of course, was when Moses stood at a similar problem, there was the Red Sea. What Moses did is Moses parted it. He'd seen it happen and he'd seen God do it before. So he thought, I know when we get to these kind of problems, I know what we do. God does it this way. I've seen God do it before. If God's done it this way in the past, he's going to do it again. And all I've got to do is get that method that I did before, you apply it now, do it now, and it's going to work. Joshua was wise because he didn't do that. Joshua knew that it was a new time, it was a new season, it was a new era. God was going to do something new and God was going to do something different. So we've been praying for some time. You know, as a group of people, we've been praying, we've been looking to God for his plan, for how we're going to reach those who don't know Christ around us. Joshua faced an unusual time, and I believe we're in an unusual time. Let's look at this passage for a moment, because I want to show you that the normal way that God worked in the desert was set to one side for a season. These were unusual times. God was going to do something different. So this ark, this gold box, this gold cover box, this ark was the tangible presence of God amongst his people at that time. So the ark was very important, very special, very holy. And God had instructions in Numbers 2 about how to move this ark around. It wasn't just something that they kind of had left up to their own ideas, but there was a plan how we're going to move the ark. And in Numbers 2, God tells them what to do. God tells them to camp in a certain way around the ark. The ark was in the middle, And then there were three tribes camped to the north of it, in front of it, three tribes to the south, three tribes one side and three tribes the other, making a cross-shaped. We're not going to look today at the symbolism of that. It was obviously powerful symbolism that the tribes were camped in a cross-shaped. But then at the end of that passage in Numbers 2, 34, it's not just the way they camped, it's when they got up and moved, they moved like that. There was an order. God wanted them to move in a certain way as they move around, as they move through the desert. But now, by the Jordan, they've been used to the way of moving. They've been used to this kind of pattern that God had given them. But now was an unusual time. Joshua recognized it was a new time. It was different. God was going to do something different. So he didn't say, well, that's how we've done it before. We've done it for 40 years like that. That's how we do it. Come on, let's carry on. He didn't. What did he say? He said to them, God had revealed him, showed him, instead of having the ark in the middle of the people, instead the ark was out front. So instead of the ark being protected by all the tribes all around it, instead of that, the ark was separated by about 1,000 meters. So there's the ark, and all it's done is these few priests carrying the ark on their shoulders. There it is way out front, and there's the people of God here. You see, it was something different. So God had done something one way for those 40 years, and now it was a new time. Now it was a new season. Now it was going to be a different way of doing things. And I believe that that's what God's called us to now. We may have done things a certain way in the past, but I think now's a different season. Now's a different time. God's doing things a different way. And God wanted them all to see that it was going to be him on the move. You see, the thing about when the ark was in the middle, it's very hard to follow that moving. I mean, there was a cloud there and a fire, and they must have somehow managed to kind of work out as through the desert the route. But now what was going to happen was the ark was going to go way out front, a kilometre. So you've got a kilometre ahead, you've got the ark, and then you've got 2 million people there. And the thing about it is that if that ark was just a little bit ahead, 2 million people could not have looked at the ark. But because the ark was a kilometer ahead, not close to them, 2 million people could see, all those people with their own eyes could see this box, this gold color box being carried by these guys, because it was far enough away for them all to be able to see it. So they could all see what God was doing. It wasn't going to be something that maybe they think, I'm not sure what God's doing here. Because as this ark moved and the direction it moved and as it parted the Red Sea and all the miracles that happened, that they all could see it. They all could recognize this is what God is doing. God is on the move. He's heading that direction. Let's follow him. In other words, they weren't just having to follow the person in front. If the ark was at the front here and then all the people were behind, you wouldn't be able to see. If I was about fifth, sixth back, I wouldn't see the ark. All I'd see is the back of the person in front of me. And I'd simply be following them. And I would have to trust that we're all following the ark and that the ark is in fact being led by God. I have to trust that. But you see, this is a new time, a new season. And Joshua wanted them God wanted them to see and told Joshua that this is going to be something that they're all going to recognize. So a kilometer ahead, there it goes, the ark. And God leads it, and it gets to the bank of the river, and then God parts the sea. And they could all see it. They could all recognize this was God's leading, this was God's doing, this was God on the move. And you see, the time we're in now, I think God wants us all to use our eyes. We're not following a person. We're actually all looking to God. God, what are you going to be doing? God, what are you doing? As this ark moved off, all those eyes were watching God's presence move. And I believe this is the season we're in now as a church. God wants each of us to look to him. Each of us look to God and see, God, where are you moving? What are you doing? See, it was an unusual time. Secondly, the thing that was unusual was normally the Kohathites. Kohathites were the Levites that carried the box, the ark. So God specified, particularly in Numbers, that the guys who carried the box were Levites called the Kohathites. And the Kohathites weren't priests, they were Levites. They served the priests, they helped the priests, they were the servants. So normally, for 40 years, the Kohathites had carried on their shoulders this box. Now, it was a new time. Now it was a special time. And God wanted Joshua and everyone to realize, this is now something different. We're setting aside 40 years of the way we do it. This is now something new. Now I want the priests to pick up the box. I mean, imagine that. I mean, that's something that's not how they've done it. That's not how God had done it in the past. It was something new. So now the priests, these priests pick up the box. They're not used to carrying the box. They don't normally carry the box. The priests are carrying the presence of God and off they go. And God is leading and God is directing and God is showing these people the direction to go. Do you see that the old way of doing things, God, it was a new season, it was a new era, so they needed to do things different. They needed to do something new. And God showed them, God did things very, very different. And new patterns. The old order side was set aside and a new order of pattern came in. And the thing is that God wants each of us to gaze on what he's doing. We're not just following people. You're not following me and Nick. Praise God. You know, you're not following whoever your hero is, whoever your Christian hero. We all have Christian heroes. Could be a writer, could be a speaker on God TV, could be the tape of the week you like listening to. Whatever it is, we all have people that we kind of hold up. And I believe in this season, actually, God wants us to see what he's doing. To each of us recognize when God's on the move. Joshua said to all the people, when you see the ark on the move, follow it. And they could do it because there were 2 million of them, which is incredible, but they could see it because it was so far ahead, this gold box, and as it moved, they could recognize it was moving and they could follow. And so I believe God's word to us today is when we see God moving, follow it. We're not following people, we're not following programs, we're not following clever ideas, we're not following the latest thing that comes out of XYZ church, whatever it is. Actually, we're waiting to see God on the move. And when you see God on the move, when I see God on the move, let's take this advice from, let's follow it. Let's, as we see God move, let's follow what God's doing. Now, if someone came to the church and said, what plans are you making in the church? What's your plans for the future? What's your plans for next year? I'd have to say our plan is a very simple one. It's to wait on God and follow him. I say we dare not do anything else. I know it may sound almost simplistic, and don't get me wrong, I love planning. I'm a bit of a planner. I know people tease me about my planning. I've got to admit that I'm already thinking of Christmas 2:10. I'm afraid so. I buy the planner, the yearly planner. I buy it as soon as it comes out in May, as soon as the dates have been firmed up for the year ahead. I'm the first one there. The first Filofax gets the first order of the year from me as I get the 2:10 diary. It's very frustrating because the church planner for 2:10 is blank. And I find that very frustrating because I love planning. To get all kind of ordered and sorted out and kind of planned, you know. That's just how I am. But I want to say this, what I believe God's called us to walk down an untrodden path. God's called us to follow him. Like the people of God had to just follow. They didn't know how God was going to do it. They didn't know whether that ark was going to head round one way or go one way. They didn't know. All they knew is they had to follow. When God's on the move, they had to follow. And that's all they knew. And I suggest for us, that's what God wants us to do. When we see God on the move, to follow him. This is what it says in Joshua. This is what Joshua says in verse 4. He said, once God starts to move, then you will know the way to go, since you've never been this way before. You see, if we're doing something we've done before, we can say, well, we know we've done this before. We know what to do. We can do this, this, and this. But what God was saying through Joshua is, I'm going to take you away that you've never been before. And because you've never been before, you don't know the way. And this is vital significance for us. Because in our Christian lives, especially if you've been Christian a long time, we think we know how to follow God. We think we know how to do the Christian life. We think we know a lot of the stuff. And they've been doing it for 40 years in the people of God. They thought they knew. And then Joshua said, no, this is a new season. It's a new era. It's different. We're just going to have to follow God because you don't know the way and you have not been this way before. And I believe that we are at a place where God is saying, you don't know the way because you haven't been this way before. So we can't rely on what we've known before, on the books we've read, on the meetings we've been to, on all the good stuff. We can't. We can't rely. Because it's a new way, and so all we can do is follow God. There isn't another plan. There isn't plan B. There isn't something else we could do instead. There isn't anything we could do to help this. All we can do is look to him, all eyes looking to God. And then as he starts to move, we can follow him. We will be presumptuous and foolish to guess what God's going to do. We could fill our time with activity. We could say, well, while we're waiting for God to do something, let's just do something. But I would suggest not. Because what Joshua wanted them to do was to gaze on that ark, keep their eyes on that, and then when they recognize God on the move, just follow him. Look what he says in verse 6. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant, pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went on ahead. This very presence of God was on the move, and the priests had to go where God told them to and do what he told them to. They carried it on their shoulders because it was under the direction of God. So we're praying so our eyes are fixed on God, so our gaze is on him, because that's what prayer is all about after all. After all, prayer is fixing our eyes, putting time aside to fix our eyes on God. So the purpose of our praying is so that we've got our gaze fixed in the right place. Because if our gaze is on the wrong place, if I'm too busy doing loads of stuff, I'm going to miss where the ark's off. I'm going to miss the direction the ark's going. I'm going to miss what God is doing if I'm too busy doing stuff. And so I believe that is why God has humbled us in this season. And that is partly, I think, why God has got us in this season where we're just praying. People say just praying as though it's something, a kind of poor cousin of actually doing something. But we're just praying because we're waiting and looking and longing for God to be on the move. And our prayer is this: God, you must lead us. God, you must show us the way forward. God, we're totally dependent on you and you moving. You know, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul used this analogy of the human body. Talk about how the church works. Different parts, different roles. But Jesus in Scripture is always described as the head of the body. My body goes where my head tells it to. From my head flows instructions which makes the whole thing go where it needs to go. And Jesus, the head of his church, all instructions must come to him. All eyes must be looking to the head. All of us as individuals must be looking to God, saying, God, what direction? What are you saying? What are you doing? In August 2007, just before we started praying, we started really praying in earnest in the end of that month, in the beginning of September 2007. In August 2007, a woman called Christine Larkin in Leicester, she's got prophetic ministry, she posted something on her website, which Kajaria brought kindly to our attention. It's called Two Pathways. It's at the back on a piece of paper if you want to grab one afterwards. But it's a prophecy she felt at that time, just as we've never met the woman. But she felt at that time a prophecy, something that God had given her for the church, the wider church, not just for her church, not just for what she was involved with, but a wider prophecy. I want to say, just before I just pick points out of it, the important thing about prophecy, of course, is that Scripture says we prophesy in part. So anytime a New Testament prophet says something, part of it is from God, part of it is their own opinion. That's very important. It's not like Scripture, of course, which is completely God's opinion. And so we've got to be careful when looking at prophecy. Secondly, we're told that prophecy must be tested. We've got to check out, is this what God's saying? We've got to weigh it. In other words, you've got to look at it and think, is this, what's the significance of this? How much of this is God? How much is the person, the prophet's own opinion? But also in Scripture, it says, don't despise prophecy. There's a warning from the Apostle Paul. Don't despise prophecy. Don't think, oh, it's only prophecy. Let's forget about that. Because if God's speaking, even in part, then maybe there's something for us to take note of. In her prophecy, this is what she said. I'll just pick out a couple of things that she said. This is from that time. She said this. And so this was just as we started to pray in 2007. She said, I was praying about this season. I felt strongly that what is coming is not a new season, but a whole new era. A time more significant than other times on earth in terms of the church being shaken into the purposes of God. At the start of this time, I saw two pathways opening up before each child of God. One was a flat path called the known path, and the other was a steep and winding path called the unknown path. The unknown path, everyone on this path starts off on their faces, empty of all confidence in their own ability. These people have faith in God, but have been brought to the end of their own strength. Old visions and dreams have become meaningless as they try, as they realize this is a new era and they've nothing in themselves to bring. Each one on this path is aware of the greater weakness of their own ability. They start to walk almost like crawling, almost flat on their faces, holding on to the hope in the strength of Christ. Few voices can be heard at the start of this path. There's one prophetic voice to be heard at the beginning, and it's a simple phrase repeated over these prostrate saints. Let him who has ears hear what the Spirit is saying. The starting point for the unknown path is realization, recognition and relinquishment of any vestige of self-reliance or expectation of ability to do anything in human strength. The starting point is not a choice, it's a position where self is at an end, personal bankruptcy, a crashing from self, weakness, wretchedness, blindness, poverty of spirit, of self, helpless but not hopeless. A new kind of church will emerge, built by the Spirit of God and populated by those who have to hear and see what the Spirit is saying and doing. You can read it for yourself. There's other stuff in there. But, and as I said, we've got to be careful and judge what God's saying through us. But the heart of it, very interestingly, is about God doing something new and there being two paths. And God's blessing being on those two paths, that there'll be some saints who walk a path called the known path, and there'll be some saints who walk the path called the unknown path. And I personally, and I feel for us as a church, that the unknown path describes in an amazing way what's happened amongst us in these last 2 years. In that God's called us to walk a path that has felt like, just as described here, a very awareness of our own a weakness in our own ability, flat on our faces, just listening to the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit wants to say, a realization of everything from the past not being relevant to the new season that God's got for the future. Now you see, Joshua and the people of God, they had to wait and they had to see the Ark of God on the move and then follow it. Imagine 2 million pairs of eyes looking to see God on the move. They were camped there for 3 days, the Ark moved and it went, and all those eyes went and they all started to follow it. I believe we're on an unknown path. If I'd been this way before, I could be a guide, but I can't, because I haven't. I feel like Joshua must have felt. Joshua must have felt this is going to have to be God. How else are we going to get across this river? How are we going to get into all that God's promised us? And that's what I feel for us here, New Life. How are we going to get into what God's promised us? How are we going to get into the effective working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in us and through us, to see the kingdom of God come here in North London? How are we going to do it? I don't know. But what I do know is God's got us on a path. And God, it's an unknown path because we don't know the way. But that's good because, as God said to Joshua, you don't know this way because you've not been this way before. So you've got to look at the ark. You've got to look where God's going and you've got to follow it. And that's all there is to do. There's nothing else. It is so simple and yet it's so challenging. I find this time we're in now as a church so challenging because of all the question marks, all the uncertainty. But I find it deeply exciting. Because if God really is going to move, if it really is God that's going to rise up and move, we're going to see some amazing things. In that prophecy, she talked about this path called a known path and an unknown path. And that God's blessing would be upon both paths and individuals would choose which path they were to walk on. And so the choice is with you, the choice is with me. If this is true, if there are two paths, there's a known path, a way of we've done things before, God's blessings on that, but there's a new path, there's an unknown path, then which, for you, which way is God calling you? Because it comes down to an individual choice, and I can't make that choice for you. But I believe God's called us together as a group, us together as a church, to walk a path together. And so my encouragement to everyone this morning is let's listen what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Let's listen what the Holy Spirit is saying. Let's take our eyes off other things and let's look just to God. Let's see what God is saying. Let's see what God is doing. I want to ask you this question this morning. What have you seen with your spiritual eyes that God is doing? And if at the moment you don't see God doing with your spiritual eyes, God on the move doing things, then I suggest we need to get our eyes and focus them on Him. Watch, wait and pray and say, God, would you lead us? God, would you rise up? God, would you move? God, would you show us the way in this unknown path? Because I personally am not going to be satisfied with anything else but seeing God on the move. We're not going to repackage, churn out stuff from before. It's got to be God on the move, what God's going to do. And the wonderful thing about this passage is they could all see it. It wasn't something in a corner that suddenly Joshua suddenly went, da-da, this is it, guys. It was God, and they all recognized it was God, and they followed. So I'm not asking you to follow me or Nick, but actually, I'm saying this morning, would you look with eyes of faith and see what God is going to do? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your faithfulness to each one of us. Lord, you have led us in our lives, individually and together, Lord, for many years. And some of us feel like we've wandered in a desert, to be honest, for part of that time. Maybe the whole of that time, Lord. And we want to say, God, we're standing pressed up against this river. And Lord, we do want to be effective. We do want to be useful. We do want to be used by you. We want to see. We want to come into all that we know you've given us in Christ. God, you've given us so much in Christ. Could we taste it? Could we see it? Could we know it? Could we be used in those ways, oh God? Lord, would you help us? That our gaze won't be distracted by other things, but our gaze will be on you and what you're doing and what you're going to do. God, help us where our eyesight's got dim. Would you help us to focus? Would you help us to pray? Would you call us to prayer? God, for each of our hearts, would you tug at our hearts? Lord, we'd be those individually together who would be looking to you. God, we'll be looking to you and what you're going to do. Father, would you help us? Jesus, thank you, Lord. I just feel as we're quiet before God, I believe God wants to encourage us today that he's not brought you this far. He's not brought me this far to leave us confused, to leave us wandering aimlessly, to leave us without hope. Now, God has brought us this far because there's a path ahead. And he wants to lead us on that path. And I believe that's the very heart of God for each of us. You know, in every area of our lives, whatever the question marks, whatever the uncertainties, whatever the things that aren't working out or we're not sure how they're going to work out, God wants to lead us. He wants to make a way. He wants to be the one who is ahead of us. We're looking at him and he is making a way. God, would you please help us, Lord? Phil, for some of us this morning, if the personal lives, the money is unclear, if our money is a mess, and it just seems no way can there be a way through that. I believe God wants to help us to lift our eyes to him and see him make a way through the money situation. Our job situation, families with our children, whatever, and then together for us as a church, what God is doing amongst us. Father, I want to say this morning, Lord, that our eyes are looking to you. And Lord, we have no other plan. We're not going to fill our time with just things to fill it. We're not going to be distracted, Lord. We're going to look to you and see what you're doing. God, would you give us that heart that Jesus had to only do what he saw you doing? God, would you help us? Holy Spirit, would you empower us? Holy Spirit, would you come and work amongst us today? Thank you, Lord. Wonderful God.